Please help me welcome my pastor, the senior pastor of Jesus House, New Jersey. Please welcome him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. It's good to be here again. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, church. Thank you, Pastor Carl, Pastor Taiwo. Mommy, I celebrate you. Celebrate you for the things that you've done, that God has kept you alive to do what he has promised to do. Amen. Praise the name. Shall we pray? Father, I want to thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're doing. Let your name be glorified. We thank you because we ask for mercy. The Bible says it's not he that will it or run it, but it's God that showeth mercy. Thank you for the beginning of the earth. Thank you for where you have already ordained us to be. The Bible says, for those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to his image. Thank you for the conformity. Thank you that right now we are not totally finished, but we know you are working very well on our behalf. Father, today, let your name be glorified. Put the devil to shame. Thank you for what we're going to talk about. We pray that God Almighty, even as we speak, let power come. Let anointing come. Let deliverance come. Let miracle come. Somebody is destined for a miracle today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Somebody's life will never remain the same. Father, take all the glory. Take all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm strictly on that time, so I need to move quickly. Luke chapter 5. I always encourage people to stand, even to be upstanding, even as you read the word of God, because the word is life. It's like Jesus Christ walking inside here. Nobody's going to see it. They will always want to appreciate and welcome the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Almighty and Almighty God. Amen. I bring greetings to my beautiful wife. I've been married to her now for 24 years. It's going to be 25. I say next year is a very, by grace of God, will be a very prominent year in our lives. I will be 60 years old next year. My wife is going to be 50. We're going to celebrate, by grace of God, 25 years of wedding anniversary. And then we're going to also celebrate 20 years of establishing Jesus House in New Jersey. Amen. So be praying for me. Amen. We need to enjoy what God has already ordained for us, and so shall it be for you in Jesus' name. I'm going to read from 17. Say, now it happened on a certain day. The day. A certain day could mean May 20th, 2018. It is today. That as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. They came from all the nooks and crannies of the city. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power will heal you today in the name of Jesus. Then behold, men brought on a man who was paralyzed. And when they sought to bring him in and lay him before him, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth, here on earth, to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I said to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately the man arose before him, took up what he has been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. If you're going to tell this man, just write four things that will give you total healing. Father, we just present this word to you. Let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. You know, it's always very, very, please be seated in God's presence. You know, sometimes people can come to a place without knowing why they are here. People can gather together without really knowing the real reason why we are here. Because it's very important for you to recognize and understand that every Sunday presents another opportunity for God to set about redeeming your life, reconstructing your destiny, setting you on the mountaintop for you to fulfill your destiny. It's never a happenstance or just incident that will come to church. When we come to church, we should be expectant, because in the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for a miracle. You cannot just leave, let me just go to church because I want to show off my new dressing. No, that's not the issue. You must come to church because, this is another garden of God's children. And because I know in the corporate anointing, it's not that God cannot meet you at home, don't get me wrong, but in the corporate anointing, there's more intensity. There's more vibrancy. There are things that God will want to do in a corporate anointing. That's why the Bible says, one shall put to flight 1,000, two shall put to flight, how many? Come on, somebody help me here. 10,000. In other words, the more we are, the more the anointing is intensified. The more the glory of God can come easily. Remember the books in the book of Chronicles, as they were lifting up their voices in one voice, the Bible said, the anointing came that they couldn't even bother to minister. Why? Because there's something about the corporate anointing that does much, much more better than individual anointing. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. So, you see, people came together that day. They came to Jesus Christ. Already there was power. Power was available to heal. But a lot of them, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and those who that came, why? Because the Pharisees are men of the law. They want to find out the reason why this thing happened. There are men that reasons. They always want to, they don't want to take it by faith. They want to understand, why did this thing happen? Please explain to us. It's 1 + 1, 2. Oh, no. 1 + 1 cannot be 3. Cannot be 5. Explain to us. They want the explanation without applying their faith. You get what I mean? So sometimes when we come, we must leave our reasoning by the doorstep. We must leave our doubt by the doorstep. We must make up our mind that, I'm going to church today. I don't care whatever is going to happen. Whatever the man of God will say, because God, I'm expecting you to speak to me. As you speak to me today, let it be according to your word. The Virgin Mary said, let it be according to your word. And then the angel said, there shall be performance. Come on, somebody help me here. Because when you believe the word, there's always a performance. I say, when you believe the word, there's always what? Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. I need to get involved. Shout hallelujah. There's always a performance when the word of God is available. The Bible said that day the word was available. The word is available today. I declare that the word is available today. It will heal your mind. It will heal your spirit. It will heal your body. It will heal your emotion. It will heal your soul. It will heal your pocket. In the name of Jesus Christ. The holes in your pocket, God will heal them for you in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now we see here a story. Hallelujah. Everybody has a story. You have a story. You have a story. Don't you have a story? If you have been born on earth, even the day you were born, you have a story. It could be that your mother went through some difficult pregnancy. You already have a story the day you are born. So any man on earth has a story. So this man has a story. He has a story. The story is a very interesting story. The Bible said the man was paralyzed. I like what Amplified said in that version. That version of this story in Matthew chapter 9 verse 2. He said, and behold, they brought to him a paralyzed and prostrated by illness, lying on a sleeping pad. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven and your penalty remitted. So this man had a story. You have a story. But one thing I know is that because you have a story, you must have a glory. Oh my God, somebody help me here. You see, because there's a story, there will always be a glory. Your glory has come today. The end of your challenges has come today. Situations are changing on your behalf. And then because the glory, you see, there must be a glory after the story. There can never be a glory without this story. In the name of Jesus Christ. So this man was a paralyzed man He could not move his hands. He could not move his legs. But he had four friends who decided to bring him to Jesus. And so when they arrived at where Jesus was teaching, they were prevented from entering because many religious leaders were blocking the way. They climbed onto the top of the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and lower the man in front of the crowd. It's like right now, assume that this place was full, jumper, and they were yelling, bah, bah. We heard a sound. Everybody said, where is this sound coming from? And they look up. They saw breaking all these things, all this had been arranged now. And then suddenly a big hole appeared and they just dropped Jesus. They dropped the man right in front of Jesus. Right in front of where Jesus Christ was. And you know what the Bible says? And Jesus saw their faith. Brethren, it takes a great faith to cut a hole in the roof. What hole on the roof are you cutting? Ask yourself, are you cutting to get God's attention? I tell you, I said, we must do something different. Situations cannot be the way it is. What holes are you cutting spiritually? What holes are you cutting physically? What are you doing special that you did in 2017 that you've never done before? Because, you see, everybody likes status quo. Everyone like, oh, okay, God will do something. This is a year of this, this is a year of this, a year of that. Without making an effort. Without doing something different. And let me tell you something. The situation will remain the same unless you do something different. Because until when you do something different, you cannot achieve something different. Somebody shout hallelujah. Which hole are you cutting spiritually? Which hole are you cutting financially? Everybody wants to be blessed financially. We'll come to America because we want greener pastures. And then you are holding back when the Bible says, he that greeth freely, that we should give in abundance, we should pay our tithe. Because tithe is a covenant issue. It's not the issue that you watch over the video. It's not what Daddy Free says that determines whether you pay your tithes or not. It's what God has said. Because we're covenant children, we must understand that there are covenant issues that even no man on earth can even truncate. No man on earth can even alter. The Bible said because it's a covenant, God, he listened to covenant issues. As a covenant child, you are required to partake of the covenant. And the requirement is that you do what? You participate. Somebody shout hallelujah. You participate. Somebody say participate. What relationship? What are you doing in your marriage? You've been going through challenges in marriages. You're not doing anything different. I have a friend, he's been going through several marriages. Several challenges in his marriages. We started counseling the day they got married. They've been married now for about 20 something years. They have not moved from the same problem. They have decided not to do anything about the marriage. And I say, how do you want God to do something different for you when you've not done something different? What are you doing in your relationship to make things better? What hole are you cutting in your relationship? Jesus saw their need. Jesus sees the need, but is looking for a faith. You see, what catches God's attention is the faith. I tell people, look, it's good to pray. Don't get me wrong. I love to pray. I remember the first time we were being ordained as a pastor. Remember the story? As a full pastor, they will lock you up for 7 days to be praying. The man will just lock up. He locks onto your room. He said, pastors, I stand, pastor. Please, it's time for prayer. Pray for the next 1 hour. He will just lock you up. Pray. Give them prayer point. This prayer point. Oh, God, move. And he will start praying. Baba Shakara. After about 30 minutes, you get tired. Of course, it's human nature. Suddenly, we just open the door. Pray. We just, bam. Basha. We'll pray for another 20 minutes. We'll get tired. You see, let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer does not make faith work. It's faith that makes prayer work. It is faith. So people can pray 40 hours and nothing will move. Because they don't have faith in the word that God has given them to pray about. It is your faith that makes the prayer to work. Prayer does not make faith work.
You can spend 140 hours praying and nothing is going to move. But you can spend just 10 minutes praying because your faith is saturated in your mind. God begins to move in your circumstances, in your situation, in your marriage, in your finances, in every way that you want God to move. Why? Because you have faith. The Bible said the effectual having prayers of the righteous are very much. I like the way the Amplifier said it. He said dynamic in his doing. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Your faith must be effectual. But why your prayer rather? But where does it come from? It comes from, if you read that verse in James chapter 5, it's about, he said, who is sick amongst you? He should call who? He should call for the others. And then they will anoint him. And then the faith. Come on. It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of faith. Somebody shout hallelujah. Prayer of faith. Ah, God is saying, where is your faith? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith comes from the word of God. Because you hear the word, the faith comes. Hallelujah. Can I get a tissue, please? Now, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen are not made for things which are seen. Let me tell you, for a Christian, we don't see things before we start to pray, but we see things when we are praying. Come on. I need the tissue, please. You see, you don't see things when you're about to pray, but as you begin to pray, you begin to see things. Why? Because the evidence of things not seen is already seen in the atmosphere of prayer, in the atmosphere of faith. So you see things that you're sure that it's going to come to pass. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The things which are not seen now becomes the substance in which you hold to. We're standing here, your marriage is not going well. Say, God, my marriage is okay. Because you have said that what man has put together, no man should put asunder. Challenges cannot put asunder. Finances cannot put asunder. People cannot put asunder. So even when people are trying to obstruct and destroy your marriage, you stand on the word and say, God, because you have said it, I've seen a better marriage. I've seen a better marriage. I've seen a better relationship. I've seen good children. I've seen my body healed. Because you have said, by the stripe, what? I'm already healed. I am already healed, not about to be healed. So I begin to walk in that atmosphere of being already healed. And it becomes a thing that my mind must feed on a daily basis before I can see the manifestation. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Message Fashion says something interesting. He said, I'm talking about Hebrews chapter 11. He said, the fundamental act of existence. It's okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. He said, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is a firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It is a handle on what we cannot see. The art of faith is what distinguishes our ancestors. It set them above the crowd. It's the hand you hold on to. You hold on to breakthrough. This year, I told my members, I said, God told me. God speak to me. Sometimes he will speak to me 3 months before December. Sometimes he will speak to December. God told me that this is a year of covenant blessing. Brethren, I've seen God move in a very mighty way in terms of covenant. I got this from Genesis chapter 26, talking about Isaac, that year he sowed a seed, and that year God gave him a hundredfold return. Listen to me. Step two, and God blessed him. And then he began to gain more and more and more until he became wealthy. So there's a difference between 2017 and 2018. You know why this year is different? Because it's your year to become wealthy. Now, okay. You don't understand what I'm talking about. You see, I know some of you, every day you go to your bank account to check how many balance you have in your account. You know, because, I don't know the check that came yesterday. I don't know the bill that came yesterday. Because the first thing you do, even before you pray, you check your bank account. Oh, I don't know what happened. You see, when you talk about wealth, wealth becomes enduring. Wealth becomes at lasting. It's not the one that you just, you struggle. You just find out that you keep on living. After you've been living, your children begins to live. Wealth is created. And it's only God that can create. The Bible says, it's God that giveth you power to make wealth. No money. Wealth is possession. Wealth is having more than enough. Wealth is more than eking out of life. Wealth is not living from paycheck to paycheck. Looking at your bank account before you buy a ticket. Wealth is just saying, I want to travel tomorrow. It's not you buy 3 months before time because it's cheaper. I'm traveling tomorrow. Can you get me a first class ticket? It's okay. How much is it? Are you asking how much? They just send the building. You don't look at the bill because the money takes you off it by itself. Praise the name of the Lord. Wealth is not because you are going to Nordstrom, you are going to Selfridges, you are looking at one shirt, and you know that within the next 2 months it will drop to a lower price. So you take the shirt from that rack, went to take it to a different rack to confuse people, so that people will not know where the shirt is. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Because I've done it to myself. That's not wealth. Wealth is going there and say, how much is it? Okay, give me 10 of it. Because I know I have more than enough. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. That is wealth. I told my husband, I said, wealth is coming, you push well. They're looking at me. I said, wealth is coming. I can feel something in the air. Money is coming. Because it gets to a time that your destiny will change. Because we'll serve this God. I serve this, you know. Praise the name of the Lord. This man told Laban, he said, check up to him. He said, Laban, Uncle Laban, you know I've served you for 24 years. But the time has come for me to begin to fetch for me and my family. You know, a time will come that you too need to enter into a place of wealth. And it's not determined by age. It's determined by favor. Let me continue. My time is going well. You see, because we must put our faith in action. Because faith without works is dead. The four friends put their faith in action. And today I ask you to put your faith in action. Oh, Pastor, I've been putting my faith in action. No, keep on putting it. Because the Bible says, what does it do? It said, every day you hear the word of God, it renews your spirit man. That's the food. I remember we ate breakfast this morning before they came. Wave to Jesus. I remember we ate breakfast before you came this morning. I remember we didn't eat yesterday. I remember we didn't eat 3 days ago. I remember we didn't eat for 1 week. I mean, I've not eaten for 1 week now. Now, have you fed your spirit for 1 week now? Because as you eat that food on table, as you take breakfast, take the word breakfast. As you take lunch, take the lunch word breakfast. As you take dinner breakfast word. Why? Because you are feeding your spiritual man. Faith cometh by hearing. Present continuous. So you can't walk on the faith you had 3 months ago. You have to renew your faith every day. Why do you do it? You expose yourself to the word of God. Expose yourself to what? To positive things. I tell people, don't say negative things. I don't like church where they say negative things. So, the devil's going to kill your father. Oh, it's your mommy that is doing you. Oh, I say, why are we? Like what our brother says, devil, where are you? Church. People become so conscious of devil. Where is the faith? Where is the victory that God has given to us on the cross of Calvary? So you must put your faith into action. And ask you, gentlemen and ladies, put your faith into action today. Miracle, faith comes by the hearing God's word. Miracle comes by doing God's word. You will receive a miracle today. When you put your faith into works, into action in Jesus' name. And so Jesus Christ saw the man. He said three things to the paralyzed man. Let me just go through it quickly. The first one he said, be encouraged. He said, be encouraged. One. Two, he said, your sins are forgiven you. Three, get up and be healed. why did Jesus Christ say these three things to this paralyzed man? Because each one of them has a part to play in the tripartite nature of that man. The word, because you know we are, originally we are not, Atepa said, this is not me, this is not Mattel. What you are saying is a case. Because this is the only way I can survive on earth. That's why ghosts cannot survive. Atepa, there's not like ghosts can survive on earth, because the earth, we're made to survive with this suit that we're wearing now. It's called the earth suit. That's why if you go to the moon, you put on what? The moon suit. Because that's the only way you can survive. So your body is not you. Your real self is your spirit man. Because you know that when God wanted to create, he said, let's create the man, let man in an image. He first of all created Adam in the spirit. And then he now formed him from the dust of the ground to put, because that's the only way he could survive. That's why spirit cannot survive. There's no spirit. They are lying to you. No spirit can survive here on earth. It's a lie, because they will die. They can enter a body, dismembered body, but you can talk to the body and the body can listen to you. Do you understand? So don't allow those fears to come to you. So God said, be encouraged, that's one. Two, your sins are forgiven. Three, get up and heal. So inside we are spirit. We have a soul that comprises of the mind, the will, and the emotion. We live inside a physical body. So Jesus wanted to bring complete healing to the man. Complete healing. You see, when Jesus Christ heals you, he doesn't heal you partially. He heals you emotionally. He heals you mentally. Look at what's going to America now. They need mental healing. People are going crazy. People are having mental challenges. In Africa, where I come from, when you see a mental man, you know. Which is actually better. Because you are proactive. Here, you don't even know. Can be sitting with you. And for the past 10 days, you are not taking the medication. But that will not be a push on Jesus' name. Mentally, we need to be healed. So he said, be encouraged. Why? The first thing he told the man to is take heart, which means be encouraged. I tell somebody to be encouraged. It doesn't matter whatever. You see, your story has come before God today. And the first thing I'm telling you, be encouraged. Take heart. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine. Why did Jesus Christ have to encourage the man? Why? Because the man was sad. The man was worried. The man was fearful. The man was lonely. Jesus Christ said, be encouraged, be of heart. And that's why when you come to a place that you feel the Holy Spirit, the first word you hear, he encourages you. I can't come to a place that when I leave, I say, oh my God, what have I done? After all this work I've done, so I'm not even appreciable. God will encourage you. You feel so vibrant. You feel so full. You feel so renewed. You want to face Monday again with all the things that you have. Why? Because you've been encouraged on Sunday. I encourage my people a lot every Sunday. I encourage them. They say, Pastor, when you talk about it, I say this, I can't talk about the devil. I focus more on positive things. Positive things. Positive things. It's because the more you hear positive things, your mind conditions you to start saying positive things. The mind is a very funny organ. And your mind is not your heart. It's your will, it's your emotion, it's your will. So, but you see, the mind can determine who you are. What the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, it says, be ye transformed by the renewal, what? By the renewal of your mind. If your mind is not renewed, there's no way you can become who you want to become. I am today based on how my mind has been renewed yesterday. So I have to renew people's mind every day. And how do you do it? By hearing positive things, positive things. But Pastor, how are you ignoring the bad things? Because I don't want you to focus more on bad things. Even when things happen to you, that's part of the plan of God. Take you to the next level. Hello. Hello, church. He said, be encouraged. Everything's going to be okay. You don't need to be sad anymore. You don't need to be worried anymore. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. You don't need to live in fear anymore, anybody. Concerning how your marriage is going through, your business is going through. You're worried about your children's school fees. People are saying, oh my God, my children are growing up now. They're going to go to college. Ah, how much will I pay? Ah, college in this country is too expensive. This one, that one, that one, that one. You hear what I'm saying? But the point of life, why are you worried about tomorrow? Why are you worried about tomorrow? God will take care of it. my mother had a serious challenge. I think it was demonic on her. Respect or fear. She's so afraid. Because her four children, first of all, there remain two of us. The only son, like Carl too, of my mother and my junior sister. She was so afraid. When the war came, during the war, some of you were not born during the war, but I was born during the war. The family of my mother was across in Asaba, because I'm Delta Igbo. But do you know what happened? My mother was worried that they were all dead in the battle. She would cry. She didn't eat. Worry. Did they die? No, they were safe. You see, worry does nothing except to change the warrior. That's why I said, don't worry anymore. Everything's going to be fine. I speak to you, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. In Jesus' name. Then he said, because Jesus is here, whatever Jesus is your miracle, is going to happen. We must believe God for a miracle on a daily basis. He said, daily does he load us with what? With benefit. There's every day that's set aside for your breakthrough. I said, God doesn't bless us year by year. He blesses us on a daily basis. I said, something happened to somebody's life one day and it changed their destiny forever. Somebody's destiny is changing forever. I said, your destiny is changing forever. I said, it's changing forever. In the name of Jesus. So he said, your sins are forgiven. Is it? But religious children were very upset that Jesus forgave the man's sin, because they knew that only God can forgive. Can you imagine, Pastor Carl? The Pharisees were facing Jesus. They didn't even know that it was God. People can come to church without realizing that this is a sanctuary set aside for their breakthrough. I tell you, Pastor Carl, I said, your miracle starts from here. Then it manifests outside. It doesn't start from outside. Okay. Let me explain it well to you. God blesses people. Where will God bless you? Based on your commitment to Him. And His grace also. Don't get me wrong. But the point is that anytime we come together, there's a miracle happening for one person. He needs to apply faith and say, oh my God, I got a breakthrough. I got a promotion. Yes! And the following week, the boss said, Mattel, I don't know. I just feel I have to promote you. It's the work of God. So where did it start from? It emanates from the gathering of God's children. That's why you cannot come and be looking at your phone when the service is going on and somebody's WhatsApping you, because it could be that time you are WhatsApping and then the WhatsApp of God's blessing will run over your head. Yeah, because you are WhatsApping somebody. Focus and be attentive, because that could be the day of your change of your life. Put the phones aside. Put on your mind and focus on the word of God. Hear what God wants to say to you, because it could be the rhema word for you at that time. In the name of Jesus Christ. You say, your sins are forgiven. And they say, why is this? And you know what happened? They say, reason. You know, Pastor, it's only very important though. Because some people are here now. Do you know what I'm preaching now? We've heard this song before. What is going on? You know, they are reasoning. People reason every time when they come to church. Because that's human nature. Please, we need to receive our tithes. They come again. Tithes today. What are they doing with their tithes? And they are reasoning. People are reasoning. Reason their marriage. They want to say, how would this marriage work out? I know this one is a terrible woman. No, even my mother told me not to marry her, but because I love her, she's a terrible woman. They are reasoning. Instead of they say, if God has said, let it be so. In their relationship, they are reasoning. In their marriages, they are reasoning. Why are you reasoning? Medically, they are reasoning. Why are you reasoning? Allow God. Let God do it. It's not a man that he should lie. He will not lie. He will not repent. He will not say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it. God doesn't say, I didn't mean to say it. Everything he says, he means it. He meant it before he said it. So it will come to pass in your life, in the name of Jesus Christ. They didn't realize that Jesus Christ was God. They were saying, it's only God that can forgive. Let me tell you, Pastor, it makes sense. If I tell you, Pastor, you are healed now. What is that? invisible occurrence of the word of God. Has it manifested? No. But because an invisible, taking it, it is easier to say, stand up and be healed. Because people will say it. But he did what was most important first, which was the spiritual. He said, your sins are forgiven. Because you have to understand spiritual principle to understand that the word that I speak, they are spirit and life. So even as you come on Sunday, the pastor speaks the word, you must be able to receive it in the spirit. Now, that word is for me. Oh my God, my circumstance is changing. My marriage is changing. My business is changing. My company is changing. My children are changing. The wayward children are changing. Children will become better. You receive it first in the word before you see the manifestation. I ask them, is it not easier to say stand up and walk? Because that time my test of authority, my test of Godship will be put to test whether I will fail or not. So he did the most difficult thing. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Because that man has sinned. And because he has sinned, let's be forgiven sins. God will forgive us our sins. In the name of Jesus Christ. The third thing he said, get up and walk. I have to quickly go. He said, get up, take up your bed and go home. So Jesus Christ forgiven sins. And the man that for years he went through problems. For years he was mocked at. For years it was ridiculed. For years the man woke up in the morning and said, my God, I want to get up and walk like a normal human being. I want to get up and do things like normally. Father, I want to marry. Why? I want, this marriage has been a problem for me. I want to get married. Every year I tell my friends wedding every month. It's only me. God, I'm tired of this poverty. I'm tired of eking out of life. And for the first time, whatever he desired, Pastor Carl, came to pass. And I speak prophetically unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. That the desires of your heart, God will grant them unto you. The desires of the heart of this church, God will grant unto you. Jesus forgave him his sins. Hallelujah. He also healed his body. For the first time in many years, this man stood up and walked. He came to the roof, but walked out through the door. You come into the way you were, but you go out in a different way. You come into the way of humanity, you go out through the way of divinity. You come into the way of human problem, you go out through the way of God's solution. That's what God designs for us. We must believe it. And sometimes, there's a book I'm reading now. I've been reading the book for the past 4 years, Pastor. I read the book. The book is not Bible, though. I'm not going to say the book. Sorry. But the book is not Bible. I read the book every day. It teaches me how to think in the world that we're in. Because the man came, he took away Jesus, took away, and then wrote the book. But you can see snippets of Jesus. Snippets of the Bible, and I'm reading the book, and teaches me how to deal with human beings. Teaching me how to think. Teaching me how to think about myself. You know what happened? I discovered, Pastor Carl, people have low self-esteem. About 90% of the people that have low self-esteem because somebody along the line has told them that you are incapable of this. I'm telling you, of wives. Husband, one day I saw him. I said, Oga, this was shared very nice. He said, thank you, sir. Somebody give me a good comment. I said, why? He said, because my wife told me that this shared is so terrible on me. He said, because the people closest to us, they can mess up our head. Your husband can mess up your head. Your wife can mess up your head. Your friends can mess up your head. Go away, this fat woman. Who told you are beautiful? Meanwhile, you are very beautiful. But because he feels so insecure, he will abuse you. That's why, first of all, this book started teaching me how to look at myself. I said, I'm fearful. I'm wonderfully made. There's nobody like me. I'm the same Mattel local. Nobody can be like Mattel. Every other person that wants to look like me is what? It's a replica. It's a replica. Those are made in China. But my own is made in France. Come on. Ah, it's made in France. This one is original. Ah, I said this one is original. It doesn't matter. I cannot look at myself that anybody can outclass me. I will do what I can do because God has said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh my God, oh my God. Somebody's not hearing what I'm talking about. You can do why? Because you have this confidence yourself. It's not bought by money. It's not bought by car. It's not bought by work. It's not by whether you're handsome or not. It's brought by an inner awareness that you are greater than what you are now. Somebody shout hallelujah. Ah, glory to God. Glory to God. The man came with a big problem. He walked out with a big miracle. He came out. He came in being carried on the bed. But walked out carrying his bed. You will carry your bed. I say you will carry your bed. You will carry your bed away today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Ah, Jesus Christ completely healed the man. Spirit somebody. Today, Jesus has three messages for you. He said, be encouraged. Your sins are forgiven. Be completely healed in the name of Jesus Christ. So what process? Quickly, I have 4 minutes. One, call upon God. That will help you in this process. Call upon me and I will answer. And I will show you great and mighty things. The second step is preach the word of God. Go forward with the word of God, spreading good news. You know, Pastor, when we hear the word, as long as the earth remaineth, there will be what? Ah, it's money time again. That's what the carnal Christian thinks about. But your day is filled with seed, time, and harvest. What do you want people to do to you? Do it unto them. Sow a seed of kindness. Look for someone to say, oh my God, you look so good, man. You look so good. Say something nice to somebody today. Stop quarreling with people. Get the spirit of strength, live your life. Compliment people. Because you know what you're doing? As you sow that seed of compliment, what will happen? God will begin to come back to you in a harvest form. Seed sowing is your life. Every day, some people sow the seed yesterday. They didn't understand the seed they sowed. Now, tomorrow happened. Oh, well, I don't know what happened to me. No, where is devil? It's no devil. It's the seed you sowed. Don't sow any negative seed. Enter the elevator. Say hello, hi, everybody. You know what happened, eh? Enter the elevator. People keep quiet. And they say, hey, how you guys doing today? Have a good day. You're looking so good. Pay somebody some compliment. This everyday life. I didn't learn this from the Bible. I learned it from that book. I'm telling you now. Make people feel important. Make people feel important. It will help you in life success. Hallelujah. Make your wife feel important. Darling, you are so beautiful today. Ah, you are so beautiful. I'm not saying why I'm beautiful. Even though she might not be that beautiful. But tell her she's beautiful. You know what? Because tell her she's beautiful, one day she'll look and say, I'm so beautiful. Because whatever we hear will become. Whatever you hear, you will become. Are you being blessed this morning? That's what I'm saying. Preach the word. Preach the gospel. That's what I'm saying. Say good news. Stop spreading bad news. Some people like to spread bad news. Oh, do you notice that letter? I've been saying it. The old disclosure she's wearing. I say sugar daddy she's following. And now they cut out. You see, negative things. Preach good news. Tell people how good they look. Tell them they are fearful and wonderfully made. Respect people. Respect their space. A wife and a husband, they were having problems. The wife told the husband, he said, sweetheart, my mother used to make igme. You know what it means? Snail. Meanwhile, in South Africa, they say, oh, is that a cross out when it rains? No, you can't hear it. South Africans don't like to eat snail. But who loves the snail? Because to us, it's what? It's delicacy. As a matter of fact, as a big man, you must eat snail. And then stockfish as an Igbo man. Like Ijebu people, they like ejoson. Yes, if there's no ejoson, the food is not good. Now, the wife now said, oh, sweetheart, I like igme. Sweetheart, igme is very good though. Igme said, the man said, I don't like igme. I don't like snail. He was trying to force. He said, it's good. My mother said, it's good. That's where the problem started from. That today they are divorced. Because they said, because I made this. How did I know? I can't say that. I said, come, sweet, what even happened to your father? He said, ah, I remember it was that the case since that day I resisted the woman. Because she was trying to force me to his name. You know, don't force people to be what do you want them to be. Let them be themselves. I'm saying this is jokingly, but you know, these are the things that creates a crack in relationship. Preach the word. Everybody say, preach the word. Preach the word. But the man went ahead, preached the word, and hundreds came. Hundreds came. Because if you look back to that story, there's one man that was healed. A leper, the man that was leper. Then he went to preach the word, and then people came. They came in droves to hear the word of God. When you preach the word, it will bring people to the kingdom. Amen? Holiness, the third one. God's nature is holiness. Not outwardness. But holiness is so important for us as Christians. And I'm not talking about, oh, don't commit fornication and adultery. Because that's the only thing people know as said. Fornication and adultery. That's the only thing some people know. But lying, cheating, willing and dealing. You are at your workplace. You're taking time off. You say you want to read your Bible. You are cheating your company. You're lying things that you call it embellishment. Embellishment is lying. A child comes home. Where are you coming from, daughter? Oh, say, you know, and you lie. And I become part of our lifestyle. Please, holiness starts from the mind. Because you see, when the law came, people started sinning. Because their mind was not totally connected to the law. It was more of a rebellious attitude. So they sin more. But when grace came, grace started from the inside. And they said, I can't do this. Even though nobody sees me. Because I know God sees me. That's holiness. Do you slander people? Do you gossip? That's holiness. Because sometimes, I tell you, Pastor, when God wants to bless me, he looks at your heart. David came. David was outside turning to sheep. But God has anointed him because he saw that he could take care of sheep. The blessing starts when God has seen what you can do. He said, no. Went to the house of Jesse. He said, no. He said, there's a man outside. Turn it to sheep. Because he could take care of the sheep. Because his heart was free. God will bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, the praise. The praise, let me call it, praise for what God has done. And praise for what God is. Praise for what you expect God to do. Hallelujah.